morning. I want to add again my thank you and welcome to our guests that are here. Thank you so much for being here on this Labor Day weekend, and we just enjoy you being with us. And if we can serve you in any way, please let us know. Before I get into the message this morning, I just want to take a moment and set up our fall series, which starts next week. It is going to be about spiritual exercise. Here's what I believe. You perform what you practice. You perform what you practice. You excel in what you exercise. And there are spiritual exercises that we are given throughout the Word, and we're going to talk about them this fall, that will help you and me, help us to actually put into practice what we know the Word of God says. Anybody will sign up for that? And I just am excited. I've been studying. I actually have been preparing this series all year, just along and along as God's been preparing me. So I encourage you to come and be here starting next week for the new series. This morning, however, we are going to finish the series that we've been on about the essential ingredient for life. And you know, we have talked about this for 3 weeks now. This will be the fourth week. And God's love is the essential ingredient for life, without which life just doesn't go well. It was meant to be founded on God's love. And then we've talked in 3 weeks about that love, about how that God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. Can I get an amen? Amen. That God's love is unconditional. You can't do anything to make Him love you more, nor can you do anything to make Him stop loving you. God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. That's good news. Then the next week we talked about the fact that God's love can change you and there's plenty that you can do about it. That is, you bring what you bring to the table, what you lay before God, and you let Him place it on His table, that He will change you and transform you. And then we talked about the fact last week that God's love is in you. Now what are you going to do about it? God's love is in you. Now what are you going to do about it? And if you have not heard these messages, I encourage you after this morning to go back to the website, therockvaldosta.org, punch on the media or listen or download sermons, and you can see the three messages there, because this series really comes together all in one, and we're going to talk about that this morning. So this morning I have a final thought for you. A final thought for you, that thought is application. Application. Let me see if I can illustrate. We started this series with a table here, and maybe I should have left it up for the whole series, but we started this series with a table here of all the ingredients that it takes to make up a pound cake. Can I just get a witness anymore? Anybody here this morning enjoy a pound cake? Yeah. I'm talking about cream cheese pound cake, hot out of the oven, man. In fact, what's interesting though is that just because you have all the ingredients doesn't mean you actually make a pound cake. You know what I'm saying? Just because you have all the ingredients doesn't make you actually make a pound cake. In fact, I told Geraldine on the way to church this morning, I said, I missed a good opportunity to have you make me a pound cake this morning that I could illustrate with. I don't know how I missed that. Good night. Of course, I don't think from the hands that were raised a while ago, I don't think we could have made it out the door with it, Geraldine. I think it had been gone for you. The point that I'm making this morning, all that we've talked about, we've talked about accepting God's love, being transformed by His love, and having that love integrated into our lives, so He in us and us in Him. And we've talked about that, but you understand this morning that having all the ingredients doesn't mean you have a pound cake, and just because those things, it's lacking without application into our lives, So this morning, I want us to take a moment, and I want us to read the scripture that we've been reading for the last 3 weeks. I want us to read it again, and then I want to add a couple of scriptures to it. Ephesians, the third chapter, beginning at verse 16. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established, somebody say rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. From those verses, we have gleaned about accepting God's love for you, that God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. From those verses, we have gleaned out that that love is transforming. That love is transforming. It changes who you are when you allow it to, when you allow that love of God to move in your life. From that passage, we've talked about integration, that is God's love in us. And that's what it says, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That love in us and us in Him being full of God. But there is yet one more step or phase, if you will, if we're going to get our hands around at least a little bit around this subject of love. And in order to do that, I want to look at the next two verses, which are part of what Paul is saying here. But we've saved it for this morning. We've saved the best for last. It's kind of like that, you know, that crust right on the top of the pound cake. You want to make me mad, man? Let me eat all of that and then look away and somebody steal that little piece right there on top. That's what this is this morning. I want you to listen to it. Notice what he says. Now to him, it's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. Somebody say more. More. To do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine. Your version may say think. Ask or think. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. What I want you to hear this morning is this. God's love is the greatest power there is. And when applied, it produces something more than you could ever have imagined or think. Let me see if I can unpack this a little bit. I want to look at this verse a little bit, and then I want to show you how this actually looks in our life. That word immeasurably more literally means further than you can measure. Further than you can measure. And I want you to think about it. What does that sound like? That sounds like what we've just been talking about. God's love, trying to figure out how long and how wide and how high and how deep is that love. Well, Paul expresses it away here. He says it is immeasurably more. It is beyond the furthest degree. It is further than can be measured. What is he talking about here? He says, and watch this, what he says. He says, and it can do more than we ask or imagine. Those are two separate thoughts. The word ask there literally means a question that is expected to be answered. The word ask is that which you can comprehend. There are some things in life that I can comprehend, some things in my relationship with God, some things in my life that God's doing that I can comprehend. And sometimes I ask about those things. There is, however, notice what he says, he can do more than you ask or imagine. Imagine is a mental picture of that which is not present. In other words, that is what you cannot comprehend. What he's saying there is that love of God can do immeasurably more. Somebody say more. Immeasurably more than what you can comprehend and more than you cannot comprehend. In other words, it's more than you can, it's enough for everything you can get your hands around, and his love can do more than you could not get your hands, more than you could even imagine, even beyond that which you comprehend. Notice what he says here. I want to just walk through this scripture, then I'm going to apply it. Watch what he says. He says, now to him who is able to do measurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power. Now that's an interesting phrase, especially, Spiro, in the context of what we've just talked about in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. The word according there means by or with. By or with. By his power. The word is dynamis there. It is the controlling influence. In other words, it is the controlling influence. It actually means influence over your reality with his supernatural reality. Let that sink in a minute. It is the influence over your reality by his supernatural reality. In other words, the power of God is greater than your reality. The power of God is greater than your reality. Watch what he says. Who is able to do measurably more according to his power. Now, the last phrase, by the way, just let me, before I back there, the word dynamis is where we get our word dynamite from. It's where we get our word dynamite from. In other words, listen, when you put a stick of dynamite, it does immeasurably more. I remember one time going with Mr. Green, and I was just there. I wanted to see this. Blowing up a beaver dam. Any of you that ever worked on farms and worked land, Mike, y'all probably have dynamited some beaver dams. And I went with them, and they were blowing up a beaver dam, and they were up there working on it, and I was way back here. So they got everything set and ready, and they ran everything out there, and we got by the truck, and I don't know who had packed it, I don't know what had happened, but when they blew that thing, logs and limbs came from I was under the truck, man. I'm talking about logs were just, and limbs were flying everywhere. It was obvious that somebody had overpacked. Well, listen to me, God's power overpacks. Are you hearing what I'm telling you in life? God's power does immeasurably more than you could ask or think. God's power is, listen, it is overpacked. It is, somebody say more. More than you could ask or think or imagine. But now watch this. Here's where it gets good. It is that power that is at work in us. In us. That phrase there, at work in us, actually means to perform as expected. To perform as expected. No. What does that mean? Notice what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that the power that is at work in us is the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of Christ, which integrates God's love into us and floods us with his love. And that controlling influence, watch this, is doing just exactly as expected, which is more than you could have ever expected. I don't think you got that. I don't think you heard that. What he's saying is his power is at work in us. That same power, his love, that power, the power of his love, that's the love, that's what we've been talking about for 3 weeks. That power to grasp, when we grasp and know his love and are flooded with him, that love is the greatest power there is in life. And when that love is released in a supernatural way, God's love does exactly as expected, which is more than you could have ever expected. Are you hearing me this morning? God's love. God's love does not just do, it does what's expected, but what's expected is more than it's expected. Are you hearing me? This love is so high. This love is so deep. This love is so long. This love is so wide. When this love begins to fill us, what is expected is it will do more, but it will do more even than expected, more than I can have even ask or think. God's love is overpacked in your life. It does more than expected. Some of you this morning may be struggling with, can God love me through this? Can God get me through this? Can God's love overcome this? Can God's love work out this situation? Can I tell you loud and clear this morning, God's love does what is expected, which is more than you could possibly have expected. Amen? Somebody say more this morning. More. See, that love that we've been talking about for 3 weeks, think about it for a moment. That kind of love, that love that is high and deep and wide and long, that love that fills us so full of God, that love, you would expect it to do something incredible, but when you think about that, it would have to do more than I could even think that it could. And I'm telling you, in my life and in many of your lives, God has done more. Has God not done more? More than you could ask or think. Let me see if we can illustrate this from a story in the Bible. Turn with me, if you want to John the 8th chapter. John the 8th chapter. I just want to walk you through this story. and show you what I'm talking about this morning. At dawn, beginning at verse 1 tells us that Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And then at dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him and he sat down to teach them. Now get the picture. Jesus has been on the Mount of Olives. He's been praying. That's where he went to pray. He comes back the next day. He's in the temple courts. He's not in the temple proper. He is in the courts of the temple, out there in the courtyard. And Jesus comes up and he sits down. And as he sits down, a crowd gathers around him. So there's a crowd of people. Everywhere Jesus taught, there was a crowd of people. So that's the scene there. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. Some of your Bibles probably say in the very act of adultery. Let's not even go here. How did these scribes and Pharisees, how did they catch this woman in the act of adultery? Let's not even go there. It was a trap that was set up. They made her stand. Watch this. They made her stand before the group. Now get the picture. Jesus is sitting there teaching in the temple court. The Pharisees and the lawyers bring this woman caught in the very act of adultery. We are not told how she was dressed. We are not told if they let her put her clothes on. We are not told if she just wrapped a sheet. We don't know, but we know it was humiliating. Absolutely humiliating. They bring her there and they set her there in front of him. They throw her on the ground there in front of him. And they say, this teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The act of adultery. In the law, Moses commands us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. Now, I want to pause there for a second. I want you to listen to me. According to the law, what Jesus had to say was stone her. Stone her. According to the law, that was the only, there was no out. There was no getting away from this. He couldn't manipulate this. Not that he would have, but you understand, there was no out. According to the law, he had to say stone her. And if he did not say stone her, they could then accuse him. Watch this. They could accuse him of violating the law in front of all of these people. They could accuse him of violating the law, which is what they were after. Which is what they were after. I want you to get that scene now. And notice what Jesus does. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. Notice this. And when they kept asking, questioning, he straightened up and said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Get the scene now. They're coming to, they're trapping him. They know they've got a trap here, and they're not going to let up. They keep pushing him and pushing him and pushing him as he's writing on the ground. And Jesus stands up and says what? Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. I want you to notice the ingenuity of this. In that phrase, Ben, Jesus had fulfilled the law. They had no way to accuse him then. They had no way to accuse him. He had technically fulfilled the law in that moment. And as they're standing around there, can't you imagine just being there, standing there, being in the crowd? And they've already got stones. The Pharisees and the lawyers, they've already got stones, right? They're already holding the stones. And Jesus is writing in the sand. And as he's writing in the sand, he looks up and says, you that are without sin, let him cast the first stone. Now, I don't know what he was writing in the sand. I heard an old preacher a long time ago, and he may be right, say that it is his belief that he was probably writing their sins in the sand. And every one of them standing there with a stone could see their sins written in the sand. And it says from the oldest to the youngest. Can't you just hear it? Thud, thud, thud. Rock after stone after stone after stone hitting the ground as each of them looked perhaps in the sand and saw their sin, or at least in their heart and saw their sin and walked away. Now, here's where it gets interesting. At this, those who heard began to walk away at that time, the ones oldest first, until it was only Jesus and the woman were left standing. Then Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are you? has no one condemned you? And she says, no one, sir. No one, sir. Neither do I condemn you. I want you to hold that. Hold that thought for a moment. On the one hand, listen. On the one hand, there is the law which demands her to be stoned. On the other hand, there is mercy. There is mercy, the mercy that he has been teaching about. We've been talking about it on Wednesday nights. The mercy that he's been talking about not judging and having mercy. On the mercy side, she could be perhaps by this man excused because he's been teaching about love and he's been teaching about mercy. And so on the one hand, she could expect, in fact, most likely this woman expected to be stoned. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This woman, when she was drugged out of that room in the very act of adultery, there was no doubt in her mind. She expected to be stoned. On the other hand, Joanne, when all of those stones started dropping, and everybody walked away, and Jesus said, who is it that condemns you? And she says, no one, sir. And he says, neither do I condemn you. She perhaps then expected to be excused. Listen to me. See, on the one hand, she could have very well expected to be executed. On the other hand, she could have very well expected at this point when nobody accused her to be excused. But notice this, love does neither one of those. Love does more. Notice what it says there. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You see, listen, this woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, what she expected was to be executed. Oh, and then at the end, she expected to be excused. But instead, God, love did more than that. It didn't execute her or excuse her. Love changed her. Only go and sin no more. Love does more than ever expected. Oh my goodness. In fact, listen to me this morning. In fact, we are told by Christian tradition, and there's much evidence to support this. Listen, we're not going to get in a fight over whether this is absolutely accurate or not, but there's a lot of Christian tradition that supports the fact that this lady caught in the act of adultery was very likely Mary Magdalene. Are you hearing what I'm telling you this morning? The same woman that it says in another one of the Gospels was delivered from seven demons. She was caught in the act of adultery and then delivered from seven demons. Listen, what this woman expected was to be executed by the law, or she expected to be excused by mercy. What she never expected was to be changed and transformed by the powerful love of an almighty loving God. Oh my goodness. And I got news for you this morning. Some of us find ourselves in that same place. Maybe you're here this morning and you expect the hammer to fall to be executed. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're just kind of saying like, oh, God's going to excuse that. God's just going to kind of look over that. I want you to know this morning, love doesn't execute. Love doesn't excuse. Love transforms you. Love always does more than expected. Oh, my goodness. His love, his powerful, transforming love. I am so glad this morning that God's love does as expected, which is always more than I ever expected. Amen. In fact, I want you to remember that phrase this morning. I've been giving you a phrase to remember every week, and this is, I want you to remember that phrase this morning. God's love does just as expected, which is more than you could have ever expected. Isn't it true in your life? Can't you look in your life and say, and as you look, can't you realize that God has done more than you ever, ever expected? See, when you put all the ingredients together, it produces something more. Somebody say more. Pastor, what do I do with that? What do I do with that concept? What do I do with that phrase? See, listen to me this morning. God's love is the greatest power there is. It always does as expected, which is more than ever expected. And when you live in that, when you live in that, you do what that verse says. give glory. You give glory to Him when you begin to live in that kind of love. Pastor, what do I do with this? What I would do with this? Here it is. Accept God's love. Be transformed by it. Be filled with His love. And His love will do what is expected, which is more than you ever expected. Are you here this morning? Are you here this morning and you need God to do something more? Something more. God, I need something more. I'm telling you this morning that according to what we've learned in Ephesians, it's the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of Christ making God's love real and known to you and transforming you that helps you to understand God does something more. And Pastor, how do I actually apply that into my life? You said application. How do I apply that in my life? How do you apply God's love? What do you do? What do you do with a love that is more than expected? Well, try this. Try this this morning. In the place of your greatest hurt, in the place of your greatest hurt, invite God's love to do more than expected. Aren't you tired this morning of living in that hurt? Aren't you tired this morning waking up with that ache? Aren't you tired this morning going through that day with that ache and that hurt in you? I don't know how far back it goes. I don't know what the root of it is, but I know this. If you'll invite God's love, it will do just as expected, which is more than you could have ever expected. How about this? Invite God's love into your greatest failure. Your greatest failure. I see so many Christians. I see so many Christians in their spirit, not necessarily in their face, a lot of times in their face, but in their spirits, just with their heads hung low because of a failure that happened in the past. A failure that you just can't seem to get away from. A failure that you see every morning when you look in the mirror. A failure that is whispered in your ear every time you try to do something for God or you try to do, that failure is listed there. I'm telling you this morning, if you will invite God's love into that failure, His love will do just as expected, which is more than you could have ever expected. What about into that relationship? What about into that greatest relationship that you have? Oh my goodness, listen to me this morning. God's love does as expected, which is more than you ever expected, immeasurably more than you could ask or think. What about in the place of your greatest challenge? I don't know what your greatest challenge is. I don't know what your greatest struggle is or your greatest battle is. I know this, God's love will do more. You understand, don't you? Just like Mary Magdalene, she expected execution or excuse. What she got, what she received, was something more than she ever expected. Go and sin no more. This woman, in the place of her greatest challenge, found God's love there. Or what about this? What about this? In the place of your greatest enemy. Wow. There may be some that are here this morning that there's somebody. When I said that, you knew who I was talking. A face and a name came before you. You know who it is. They always seem to be your nemesis. They always seem to be undercutting. They always seem to have biting words. They always seem to somehow sabotage your life in some kind of way. And you've tried to love them, and you've tried to love them. You've tried, as God said, to love your enemies as yourself. You've tried that. Can I tell you this morning, what perhaps you need to do is just invite His love into that place and let His love do more than you ever expected. God's love will do as expected, which is more than you ever expected. Listen to me this morning. God's love, accept it. Allow it to transform you. Become integrated with it and filled with God's love. And watch His love, because it can do more in healing. It can do more in delivering. It can do more in transforming. It can do more in changing relationships. It can do more in forgiving past. It can do more in healing hurts. It can do more in restoring relationships. It can do more in delivering you. God's love does more. So, Pastor, how do you end this message this morning? I felt it very strongly as I began to put this, the close of this message together. That's here. There's how the Lord would have me end this. In just a moment, we're going to play a song about God's love. A song that we were playing just a few moments ago as you were greeting each other about God's love. And in these few moments, I want this to be incredibly personal and intimate to you. But here's what I felt God, I felt God telling me to do. God, what God wants you to do, He wants you to invite Him into that place of your greatest need. And here's what I feel like He'd have you do, that right now, as this song begins to play in just a moment, you fill in the blank. God, come and apply your unconditional transforming love to, and you fill in the blank. You know whose name goes there. You know what sin goes there. You know what battle goes there or what situation goes there. You fill in the blank. God, I need you to apply your steadfast, unfailing, unconditional, lasting love into that place in my life. You know what it is. So here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, Michael's going to begin to play. And as he does, I want you to invite God. I need you to apply your love and you fill in the blank. You know what it is in your own life. And as that song plays, I want you to just invite God into that place. And if you need someone to pray with you, as you do that, I'm going to be down front and I'm going to pray with you. And we're just going to let God move in these few moments. We've got plenty of time this morning. This needs to be a personal, intimate moment, because here's what I know. God's love is ready to do more than you expected. You thought you could never be delivered from that. God's love can do more. You thought you could never be healed of that hurt. God's love can do more. You thought you would always have to live with that scar, but God's love can do more. You thought maybe you'd always have that struggle in your life, but God's love can do more. You thought maybe you'd always be a failure in life, but God's love can do more. Or maybe you just thought you would never get to that place. You're trying with everything you can to follow God's will for your life, and you just are hitting up against a loghead. God's love can do more. This morning, as Michael plays the song, pray this: God, I ask you to apply your love in this place, and you fill in the blank. And if you need somebody, to pray with you, I'll be here. Yes.
Your love's like a hurricane.
Yes.
I am a tree.
God, I need you to apply your unconditional transforming love into this place in my life. Name it. Name it this morning. Name it this morning.
All of a sudden, I am unaware.
Put a name to it. That person's name, the name of that hurt, the name of that struggle, the name of that failure, the name of that mountain that you're trying to get over. Put a name to it this morning. God, apply your steadfast, unfailing, unconditional love to this place in my life. This place in my life. Yes. 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 Some are coming to the altar. You're welcome to come as well. And if you need somebody to pray with you, let me know and I will do that. Yes. Let this be a moment of worship. A moment of worship where God's love comes into that place. You know what that place is. Thank you, God. Thank you for delivering people this morning. Thank you for healing people this morning, God. Thank you, God, that your love, God, heals that hurt. Thank you that your love helps us to forgive. Thank you that your love delivers, God. Thank you for that love.
Your love's like a hurricane.
Yes. Yes. Altars are open if you want to come this morning. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
I am unaware.
Yes.
Eclipsed by glory.
Yes.
And to realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. And oh, how he loves us. And how he loves us so. Yes, he loves. Yes, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. And how he loves us so. 'Cause we are his portion, and he is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. It's grace. There's an ocean we're all seeking. When heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside my chest. I don't have time to regress when I think about the way he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And how he loves us so. So, and oh, how he loves us, and how he loves us so. Jealous for me, he blows like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. And oh, how he loves us. And how he loves us so. Jealous for me, he loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and to realize realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. And oh, how he loves us. And how he loves us so. Yes, he loves. Yes, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. And how he loves us so. 'Cause we are his portion and he is our prize.
Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Love you, Jesus. Bless you. I want you to know this morning, God loves you. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. God's love will change you, and there's plenty you can do about it. God's love is in you. God's love is in you. Now what are you going to do about it? When you apply that love, you find that God's love is the most powerful thing there is. God's love will do just as expected, which is more than you ever expected. Somebody say more this morning. More. Stand up with me. Father, we thank you and we praise you this morning. We thank you and we praise you for your love this morning, God. Your steadfast, unfailing, unconditional love. God, I thank you that in people's lives this morning, in places of hurt, in places of sickness, in places of unforgiveness, in places of hindrances, God, in places of mountains that people have tried to fight, or to go over, or battles they've tried to face, Lord, that your love will do more. I praise and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's love will do what? More than you ever expected. If you're here this morning and you are a guest, thank you again for being with us. We appreciate it so much. If we can serve you in any way, please let us know. Let someone know at the back door or see Geraldine or I if we can serve you in any way. We love you. I do hope you'll be here next week. We're going to begin a series about spiritual exercise. What you exercise, you execute. What you practice, you perform. It's important that we have our spiritual exercise right so that indeed we will be what Christ calls us to be. I encourage you to be a part of that in the coming weeks. Until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his face unto you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you.